You know, it's fucked up, man, that all my friends in bands and stuff, they used to play shows and bitch about government and how government fucks everybody over and how much they hated it and stuff. And then they grow older and now they join a party and they act like their opinion matters. Like, oh, well, maybe government's okay since I'm a Democrat or since I'm a Republican. But it's not. It's the same government you bitched about when you were fucking 20 years old playing in a fucking death metal band or a thrash band or whatever the fuck you played in. You just got old and soft. You just got senile and brainwashed. And now you're just a fucking stupid son of a bitch.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Fuck you!
Well, hey there. 666 Infernal Handles, my eternal war brothers. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. Today, I'm joined by my very special boys. You know him. You love him. America's sweetheart. It's Jordan, everybody. Jordan, how you doing?
Hi.
And that's not all. In addition to Jordan on this episode, we've got one Breno side. Breno side, how you doing?
You know, well, today, I'm doing fine. Everything's cool. It's just, we record on Sunday morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. We're getting some sunshine back in the world. But, you know, it's spring ahead. It's like a return to standard time. And that's pretty dumb and stupid.
I would appreciate it if, you know, the powers that be would quit fucking with my time. I lost an hour. I needed that hour, you know, and now I'm struggling a little bit, but that's okay. So we got a great show ahead for you today. A couple notes before we dive into the thick of it, though. This episode going up is going to be 297, I think, which means that we are almost there. We are cresting that hill at 300 episodes. We're going to have a big spectacular event for that in the interim. If you want to be a part of it, you can call and leave me a voice message on my cell phone. That phone number is 803-712-3773. Again, that is 803-712-3773. But that's not all. There are other ways to be a part of the show. Jordan, what's another way that the people could join the show?
People can send us cameos from their favorite celebrities and washed-up musicians and people that are definitely not doing well but still need money. So, yeah, you can just go to cameo.com, and there's just all sorts of people on there that you can give, for some people, a very reasonable amount of money to congratulate us on 300 episodes, to sing us songs, to roast the hell out of us. And once you get the download for that, you could send it to us at toilethellradio@gmail.com, and we will play it on the air. We've already gotten a couple, which I won't listen to until we have it on the show, because I'm just not mentally prepared for some of these.
And if I can interject, I would say points for patheticness. I really want just like the scrape the bottom of the barrel as much as you can here. People who are really desperate to make some sort of money. I want sadness in these videos.
I'm struggling to think of some parties that might be worse than the ones that we covered in our cameo specific episode. If you guys haven't listened to that one, you should go back and listen to it, because it's really good.
It's our best show, and it's one of our best ones. It's a top 10 for sure.
And hey, one more note before we dive into the thick of things. If you enjoy this show and you would like to get more of them, or you would like to get a very specific playlist for every month, or if you kick in even more money, I will hunch over my desk and make you a goddamn mixtape. You can do all that on patreon.com/toiletofhell. I don't know if that's the actual URL, but if you put that in your bar, you'll get close enough to where you need to be to find all of those lovely, lovely things. So you can support us financially and such, which would be nice. And we'll do nice things for you. You know,
Real nice.
Rub my back, I'll rub yours. That's how this thing goes.
I'll rub your whatever.
I am, again, don't have a job right now. I am not too good for whatever you have in mind. So, Let's get into the show, fellas.
Touch your dick and then touch your toes. Give a Z jab, something like that.
Yeah, if you have to ask what it is, you can't afford it. Anyway, fellas, I know we're struggling a little bit this morning. You know, the government, they done stole an hour from us. But, you know, I'm hoping the synapses are starting a fire. Jordan, how you doing this morning?
I am just about at a year of working from home, and I have no idea how I'm going to go back to working in an office in whatever, 5 months.
Do you think they're going to make you go back?
Yes.
That's fucked.
I mean, the vast, vast, vast majority of companies that have been having people work from home are going to have people come back, aren't they? They need to make sure you're not just laying in your bed at 10:30 flipping around on Chatterbait. You got to be in your office secretly flipping around on Chatterbait on your phone.
Right.
Yeah, that's the American way. No, I mean, I know that some companies, they've seen a rise in productivity and a decrease in, you know, expenses for, you know, office space, so they want to keep it going. And other people, the people in charge have young children, so if they have to suffer, so do you. Back to the office, everybody.
Yeah, it's just weird how culture just defines the actions we take, even though they're just objectively dumb actions. Like, clearly this experiment worked. Working from home is just as good, just as much work gets done. Like you said, there's savings and all that overhead. It's really just fucking the way to go. And you realize, just if you're any kind of person working in an office, literally everything you do is on the computer. You have a perfectly good desk at home with a perfectly good computer at home. If you don't, you can, you know, just stack the computer on just like a carefully crafted pyramid of soup cans that are just half empty. But, you know, it just seems like this made sense and it worked and the country kept running and the businesses kept running and they kept making money. Why fuck a good thing?
I mean, I don't get it. I personally, you know, having worked most of the year at one of those jobs that, you know, you just stare at a computer all day, my takeaway is that, like, my job was not real. It was not a real thing that contributed to the economy in any way. Bruno, you actually have to go in and do a real thing, right?
I do now. I did have a previous job that just did not exist anywhere within reality. But it's like that. You're just kind of on a computer. You're going on fucking Microsoft Teams or Zoom or whatever to talk to some asshole who is three doors down from you. It's just, why don't we just shift that shit to a way that we're not all sitting on the highway in traffic just pumping carbon emissions into the ozone? Why don't we just fucking chill? You know what I mean? Like, we goddamn deleted a virus just about. Like, why can't we just delete all the viruses and fucking stay home?
Makes sense to me. But after, like, yeah, it's crazy though. A year of this shit where essentially things have been shut down, you know, you can't go, well, for like in Texas anyway, for like almost a solid month, back a year ago, you couldn't go to Patio Houlihan's. You of course could immediately thereafter. So I guess things haven't changed that much, here specifically, but, you know, it did shut down like every venue in town. And, you know, we talked about that a bit. A lot of these places are just never coming back again. Ticketmaster, of course, will take over. Aside from these incredibly horrific changes, any other reflections you have from a year in the quarantine life?
I like those stories of the animals just invading towns because people aren't around anymore. I miss those stories.
Hell yeah. I remember seeing some pretty good shots of like foxes in London, and I think that's good. I think we should just give London to the foxes.
Give foxes guns so that they can hunt the royal family.
Yeah, Lord Beef Wellington or whatever. Like, the tables have turned, bitch.
Did you know that the English people, our UK listeners, you guys gave the royal family £69 million last year to do absolute fuck all for anything.
I once got into like a really heated argument with one of my coworkers when I was still working like in person with people. who is trying to tell me some bullshit about the royal family. And I'm like, you know, the royal family should not exist. They are, you know, a leech on society. They just take money from people that actually work. And she's like, no, but they lease all of their estates to the country so people can use them or whatever. It's like,
what?
Where did they get that shit in the first place?
What? We'll let you use that if you pay us more. Oh, thank you, royal family.
Yeah.
What would we ever do without you?
They're leeches and landlords, but, you know, I repeat myself, I guess.
Oh, you could just make Buckingham Palace into a giant HMV, and it would serve a much better purpose.
Guys, I figured it out, man. It's like the queen, she is the welfare queen. It's been her the whole time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She goes around to Sainsbury's and buys lobster with her government bonds or whatever. Fucking sickening, man.
Sits on her lazy duff while I have to go to work in the mines.
Bottle of water.
Welfare reform, but only for the royal family.
I love it. I see conservatives sometimes. Sometimes we can reach across the table here, okay?
No, but see, conservatives have gone all the way around. The Tea Party people are all about being ruled with an iron fist by a king or queen. Actually, by a king. They don't want a queen ruling them, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that was always kind of the subtext, but I do like that they've made it the text now. Like, what was the bit in The Simpsons? Like, you know, Republicans want to be ruled with an iron fist.
Rule you like a king.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true. So I appreciate Ted Cruz, you know, picking a new culture war battle. Like, actually, the monarchy is good, and I'm sick of this disrespect being plied upon our dear sweet queen.
I'm excited for him campaigning for Matthew McConaughey's governor run in Texas in a few years.
Oh my God, that's going to be a... All right, let's talk about things that don't affect me, like the fucking monarchy.
Are we allowed to make fun of Texas now? I know we weren't allowed to during the storm, and I know we weren't allowed to. There was another thing that came up in the past couple of weeks we couldn't make fun of Texas for. Are we allowed to do it now?
What? Oh, because Texas, our governor reopened, and the attorney general of Texas kept suing my city specifically to prevent any kind of public health measures from being made.
So now the Matthew McConaughey, we're allowed to do it, right?
I am interested in the Matthew McConaughey thing. I mean, it'll be a disaster. It'll be a huge disaster. But mostly I think that the result of it is going to be a third and final humiliation of Beto O'Rourke.
Third and final humiliation. It's like a... It's like some kind of Dark Souls boss.
Yeah. No, after a year of all of this stuff, I think the thing that I'm taking away from this is that people are unnecessarily and performatively horny online.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like that to stop.
I'd like everything to stop, if we're being honest. Just everything, just stop it. Be cool for like a day.
No.
That's what it is. It's always no.
As a confessed sex freak, like, I don't I've never performed any bit of horniness. I mean, if it ever leaked out anywhere online, it was nothing but truth, just bold, hard rock hard truth. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm resentful of that remark. I don't know, maybe people really needed it. Maybe people really had to go out there and just project that they wanted their knob slobbed.
Yeah, when I think of you and my mind, Bruno, I immediately assume a big, huge sex type dude, like a big sex criminal.
Just an absolute, just deviant, just a degen of degens, man. I'm just disgusting.
Leisure suit, the shirt's open a little too far, gold chains.
The chest hair is really all I got. Like, I'm the least manly person in the world. Like, the only thing I have is just some disgusting tuft of chest hair to just highlight, so... gosh, I think I had a point here somewhere, but I guess I just don't.
Speaking of sexual deviance, Psychosexual is coming back.
What? We just talked about this like a month ago, right?
We did, and you know what? I think you have bad magic powers, because you said you wanted Jackass to come back, and it did, and Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O like ended up in the hospital, didn't they?
Yeah, which is kind of expected. Those guys are like 50 now.
Yeah, your joints ain't what they used to be, man. You can't be pushing each other in shopping carts.
Also, like, pretty sure Bam's going to die. Like, unrelated to the... Well, directly related to being excluded from the Jackass stuff.
So just, Hulk Hogan's tweet was right. Like, damn, Bam. R.I.P.
Every organ in you is just pickled with alcohol sauce, man. You're just something to behold every time I see a picture of you.
I mean, if you were to, like, because I really liked watching the Jackass movies, you know, I'd see them when they came out at the theater. And if you were to tell me that, you know, after the release of Jackass, the movie, that Steve-O would be fucking thriving and Bam would be, you know, on his last legs, I might not have expected that coming.
Yeah, bit of a switcheroo. Steve-O, he got sober and he's vegan and he looks great. He looks fucking awesome.
He looks fantastic, man. Good for him.
He, like, aged in reverse. He just... it's like if you eat right...
don't see that happen.
It's like if you eat right and don't do drugs, you you know, it does good things for you somehow. It's the proof is in the Steve-O.
One day I'll investigate these claims. For now, I'm a little suspicious. Anyway, psychosexual. Did we make a bad prediction with that, too?
Well, you used your powers for evil because they're coming back. Sort of.
I got a load of this article this week, and it's, I mean, I think the word mulligan was thrown around, which is just such an interesting take because it's kind of exactly what's going on here. So specifically, this is Jeremy Spencer, the drummer from Five Finger Death Punch, right?
Whose
book we reviewed in one of our most popular episodes yet.
Yeah, which again just means that the people that listen to the show are gluttons for punishment, because that is one of the grossest things I've ever done.
Absolutely. And I think that his success and his ability to springboard back into some form of internet public eye is all our fault. I think that we are the reason he has any sort of circulation in the scene whatsoever these days. It's just coming from us.
We should maybe try using these powers for something other than helping Jeremy Spencer do another gross sex project.
But this is interesting. So what he did was, instead of just working hard on some sort of sophomore release, which is traditionally what you would do, what Jeremy Spencer or his, well, I guess he, because what he says in the interview is he released it all independently. So I'll say it. Jeremy Spencer himself has decided that he was going to go into YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever this scourge on music could have possibly been available. And he deleted it off the internet. He's giving himself a redo. He's taking all of the old music off. You can't get it by any official means anymore. And he's going to put out his second album as the first album.
Again, I didn't know you could do that. And I'm just thinking about how many other people, like, just completely flopped on their first try and didn't do anything again. You know, like, ah, maybe this whole music thing isn't for me. And why he couldn't have done that. But it is an interesting approach, saying, you know, that didn't happen. Let's try this again. And I'm kind of wondering why, because I know for a while he turned off the comments on the YouTube videos because they were less than flattering. Is he going to, like, try a slightly different approach? Like, maybe we need to have full penetration in these videos next time?
Yeah, I mean, think of all those young ladies who worked so hard and were so excited to be part of his music video, you know, and then... What did he get, like 127,000 total views on the video? And the only people that watched it were websites making fun of it.
Yeah, I mean, a not small percentage of the listener base was people solely looking at it to make fun of it. But, you know, there have to be a few psychosexual fans out there, like people that were feeling disappointed that their favorite songs got... nuked from the internet, and they're excited about this sophomore or new debut release, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's so inconsiderate of that possibility. Like, somebody maybe liked your music. Like, I mean, just how hard of an L can you publicly take just proudly publicly take. If I were some kind of investor or I was someone who respected you, why would I do that now? You've just shown your whole ass. You're like accepting to the world. You're just standing up tall in front of everybody and saying, I made something that was stupid and terrible, and I'm fucking ashamed of it.
I guess the thing about this that surprised me a little bit was that Psychosexual did hit the charts. When they put out Torch the Faith, that original debut album, back last summer, it debuted at number 150 on the Billboard 200, reaching number 5 on the Hard Rock Music Albums, number 12 on the Top New Artist Albums, and number 30 on the Current Rock Albums, which is nothing to sneeze at, I gotta say.
Judging from what I see sometimes, and I don't think I can say within our circle, but sometimes, like, based off of these kind of band camp level doom metal and death metal bands that I see, quote unquote, chart, and how they brag about how they were like the top selling something on iTunes any given day, I always fucking wonder about the accuracy of these things, or like how it gets measured, because like I'll see them say these sort of statements, like make the claim that, oh, we charted, look, were they, oh my god, everyone, thank you so much, and then I'll go and actually physically look at the number and it's not that impressive.
Well, Jordan, you shed some light on this a little while back, in that, you know, the numbers are completely fucked now. Everything is manipulated to an inch of its life. Like you were telling me a while back that Da Boogie with Da Hoodie reached the Billboard Top 200 by selling, I don't know, something like 130 records.
It was the lowest number of physical media ever sold for someone to hit number one. It's because it's now, they're baking in streaming numbers, and, you know, when you include your titles and your Spotify's and iTunes and all these other places, yeah, a lot of people could be listening to your one song because it's being hyped online, but when it comes into physical sales, it doesn't really count as much. And that's not to say that's the same case with, as you said, your Bandcamp bands. Yeah, there might be 200 people buying your album on one day. It's a week later, it might be down to like 5. And that's what happens a lot when some of these bands chart. They're the new thing, so there's some initial interest, and then a lot of them fall off. And on top of that, just all these different hard rock chart, Heat Seekers, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really mean anything. Like, it's just Billboard creating different versions of you to advertise yourself. And, you know, these bands should be doing that. It's something to talk about. It's much better than saying, we've got something new coming up for you. Give us 500 likes and we'll post a teaser to our demo to our lyric video. Fuck it. Tell me, yes, we're number 35 on the Heat Seekers chart. That's great.
Yeah. The numbers are definitely cooked a bit. You know, it's The Big Short, but with music.
Well, that's like you hear all the time. Metallica's suddenly again number one in like vinyl sales. It's like that people are just buying Injustice for All again for whatever reason, because it's on sale at Target, or they're just looking to flip it on Discogs because it's a different shiny color. It doesn't mean that, like, necessarily people are interested in the music again. Oh, they went on Colbert, I'm going to buy Enter Sandman.
But I guess I've never heard of anyone doing this before, where they deleted the first album because it didn't do so well or something. I've never heard of it. And I mean, it's
there is
so
one possible that I've heard of before.
Oh, really?
In a similar vein. Lana Del Rey. Do you know who that is?
No, I'm really cool and live under a rock. You know, I'm fucking metal. So she is not metal. I have no idea.
Lana Del Rey had a debut record. And I believe the name was slightly different. Her stage name was slightly different. And I'd say about a month after release, it got stripped from everywhere. You can't find it anywhere right now. Like, if you wanted to find it on YouTube, I'm pretty sure the lawyers strike it down within a moment. Because whatever financial interests involved were like, well, we've got this act. We need to work on it, though. So they decided to turn her into, you know, like the Mad Men lady or whatever the fuck her whole thing is. They decided to give her like a new backstory and like a new vibe or whatever that it might sell better. And you know what? They were right. That worked out pretty well for them. The thing with Psychosexual is I don't know what you're going to do to this particular gimmick to make it better or more appealing.
Yeah. There. First of all, nothing you can do. It was a failure the first time for a reason. Lightning will not strike twice here, my dude. I mean, maybe the lightning of failure.
I think it's just that he and the guys he hired like the gimmick so much, but don't like the music or what they put out. It wasn't successful enough to kind of continue in that same vein that they're keeping the name, keeping the image, and just trying to start over. I think that's what it boils down to. He likes being Devil Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a cool look. Why would you give that up?
So well, awesome. What we know about him in his book and his directing of softcore pornography, that being Devil Daddy is probably a lot closer to what his actual personality is than he probably wants to let on.
Yeah, we want to talk about someone who's not performatively horny. Right. What you see is what you get. Just a total fucking degenerate.
Yeah. He went on the Drag the Waters, the Pantera podcast, which, what?
Yeah, I love listening to Pantera, so let's talk about this guy that creates D-grade goth metal and rubs his nipples the entire time.
So here's a quote from it, and should I read in what I think Jeremy Spencer's voice sounds like?
Absolutely.
I really want to hear that.
When you make records, they're like snapshots in time. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that in that
way. I like that you decided he's Dooley from King of the Hill.
Yeah, I mean, but cannot be that far off. And Jordan, if you laugh, it being, please, just let's do this.
Okay, going to calm down. It's not funny. It's not funny. Devil Daddy, it's creepy.
Auditioning,
okay.
You know, this is your moment.
There's no way I'm going to be able to do this, but I'll try. We made the first thing pretty fast, and I just say, and I just threw it out independently. And we had started the next record right away, and Devil from Hell happened. And I'm like, fuck, man, I really like this. I wish this would have been the first thing that we dropped. So it's like, you know what? Nope. Nobody even really knows much about the other music, which I do like. But I think this is more appropriate of where we kind of want to debut. This is what I wanted to be the first thing. So it's kind of like a reboot. We're starting over. I'll release the other music down the road again, but the second record will technically be our first. It's a little different than the previous material that we've been working on. It's a little heavier. We do all kinds of stuff. It's not just metal or whatever. It's kind of eclectic, but this one's definitely a stomper. I'm pretty happy with it. The video turned out really cool, too.
I'm laughing. God. I can't help it. Okay.
And then he follows up because they ask about, like, if the new project's going to have theatrical presentation and goth stuff.
Of course, yeah.
Just people having a negative reaction to the gimmick and Jeremy responds with, that's okay. Not everyone's going to dig what you do. I mean, it's how it is in Death Punch 2. We would release stuff and you get hated on. We can't please everyone. We always made records for ourselves. And then you hope people like it. You can't control it. And we were fortunate enough to have a large fan base that did appreciate what we did. And I think we'll find the audience for this as well. It's not for everyone, but I'm doing what I love to do, and I'm a big fan of theatrics. I do like goth music. I do love metal. I'm going to put it all in a blender, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope that people want to join us on the journey. And when we finally get to play freaking shows, hopefully people can come out and have a good time and see what we're all about.
Gonna play some freaking shows, man.
Look, I mean, I'll give Jeremy this much. He's absolutely right. You can't please everyone. It's impossible. What is incredibly possible, and he achieved with flying colors, is that you can definitely please no one. So, I mean, Psychosexual was just, like, if consequences of sound, what was it? What's the fucking Twitter that is the best Twitter you can possibly follow? And I want to give another shout out to. Consequences of sound is some blog. What am I trying to say?
Are you talking about Catatonic Youths?
Catatonic Youths. If Catatonic Youths does a mashup of anything you do, you're over. It's done.
Yep.
You're officially a parody of music. Like, you just can't escape that. If he's going to restart, if he's going to do anything differently, it's got to be like scorched earth. He's got to delete every for this whole thing from top to bottom. If he wants to make new music, great. But Devil Daddy, man, it's fucking over. It's just, I can't wait to see what happens next year.
I do like that he claimed that when he was in Five Finger Death Punch, you know, everything that they were writing, like, this is personal, this is for us, I don't care if anybody else likes it. Like, that is just, number one, that's a fucking lie. There are huge financial interests involved with all of this.
Absolutely. We have a quote from him from his book saying that much, that he was writing music to be popular.
Yeah.
To make money.
Yeah. But no, it's like, this one's personal. All right, this is about the troops. Also, I don't know if you guys noticed who else is in Psychosexual.
I can't possibly imagine.
Well, you've got on guitar, you've got Crucifier. On bass, you've got Astaroth.
Oh, Astaroth, he's a good bassist.
He's great in Soul Calibur too.
Yeah.
And on drums you got Volak. So I kind of enjoy that this cheesy ass fucking goth rock band is ripping off like black metal band names.
Well, I think theatrically speaking, he kind of got the very rough concept of Ghost, where it's like, oh, they're satanic and horny. So what he did is he put on some fucking iParty Satan mask on his face and then went on the stage and was going, dick, 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 cock, dick, 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 cock.
And this suddenly makes so much more sense now that you think of it as ripping off Ghost.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no, I've never once doubted that's what's going on here. Is that he saw the success of Ghost. Yeah, he saw the success for Ghost. This is another cash grab. This is another way for him to make as many bucks as possible. And because he doesn't have the secret sauce, because he doesn't know how to get the formula right, he fucking flopped.
He never listened to ABBA, so he can't rip it off.
Right, you can't. You fucking gotta, right?
I mean, if you want to be a successful artist, it would probably help to look at, you know, how one of the most successful bands of all time in any genre, you know, wrote their songs. Like, that might be a good idea. But instead, you know, we've got whatever the hell Psychosexual is. It's bad, folks.
It's real bad. Well, moving on. What else kind of went down this week or recently?
I just do want to have a quick mention here. Sure. That LG Petrov of Entombed died, and like, that is genuinely a massive bummer. Like, I don't really have anything snarky here to say. It is a tremendous loss to have one of the giants of heavy metal die at the age of 49. And that is a shame, and I don't. It sucks seeing some of the dudes that, you know, you grew up listening to are starting to die out now. I don't like that feeling. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't think he was a tremendously old guy either.
49, I think.
49, yeah, just dropping. I mean, Entombed, from what I've heard, they were great. I never got too much into them. That might change now that they're, of course, on the board being discussed. I'm extremely well aware of the fact that they created an entire market for a used guitar pedal that everybody needs to have. But other than that,
well, there is. It's not just that. There's also Dismembered, and they've got their own custom HM2s as well. It's kind of like a Coke versus Pepsi thing, in that it's all sugar water, but you can get your specific one catered to you.
Yeah, I mean, just a cancer sauce of choice. Welcome to America.
But it is terribly sad. I spent the week listening to a lot of Entombed. And this is probably heresy for a lot of folks, but I was spending most of my time with the later death and roll era rather than the real groundbreaking death metal, like Left Hand Path stuff. They could rock, man. They had some grooves.
I'm most familiar with Wolverine Blues, And after he passed, I kept seeing people pop up on Twitter saying, like, I don't really like this album. It's like, really? This is the one I'm most familiar with.
It's rocking.
It's one of those, like, it's just one of those weird disconnect things. And I think I'm, you know, I got listened to the album specifically because it has Wolverine in it and familiar with the comic book character. And have you ever seen the video for Wolverine Blues?
I can't say I have.
Narrated by Beavis and Butthead, yes.
Well, guess I'm gonna take a leak.
No way, Beavis. I got to take a leak when the video sucks.
No way, Butthead. I got it first.
Yeah, but I have to take a dump. That's more important.
No way, Butthead. I'm gonna take a dump too. I was just like, you know, embarrassed.
Well, you snooze, you lose.
This sucks.
But, like, Wolverine is actually in it, like, from the comic books. And I think this was in, whatever, the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Marvel and Disney allowed any of their stuff to be in a death metal music video now?
It would solely be the realm of, like, a Captain Marvel tie-in with Five Finger Death Punch, and it would suck. So, no, I can't.
The answer is no. Yeah, man, I remember the video too. It was just like random comic book strip pictures of Wolverine just kind of like flying around in the background, and man, it was like, it was a video for sure. But yeah, man, I always end up liking the more rocky later albums of these bands. I don't talk about it much because it's like, it's not the album, that's not the one, their best album is clearly this one. And it's just like, man, no, it's not. Just because it's the oldest, coolest thing to listen to, and it's like the genre-defining thing that was recorded badly in some basement somewhere, it's like, that doesn't always have to be the best album. Just knock it off.
I mean, yeah, this album inspired, you know, a million bands to rip off this one particular album, but they had more than that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I just didn't want to let this episode pass without mentioning that Entombed, one of the greatest bands in you know, the weirdo realms that we discuss, and it is a terrible loss. So if you haven't done so at some point this week, you should probably reward yourself by listening to some Entombed. I have a story that popped up that kind of blew me away a little bit that I'd like to talk with you guys about. This is not in any way timely or relevant, and well, I mean, it is in that it always is. But one of my favorite publications is Texas Monthly. I have had a subscription on and off for the last 15 years to Texas Monthly. It is one of the few things that this state does well, a magazine, like a full fucking glossy ass magazine that covers all kinds of stories of big and small import to this state. And I don't know if you guys know this, I'm kind of identify as like a Texan type dude, you know?
Someone from somewhere around Texas.
Yeah. And they had a piece pop up by Susan Elizabeth Shepherd just a few days ago. After the year that we've had seeing, you know, all of these incredible, monumental, incredibly violent and brutal protests against police overreach, brutality, murder, corruption, this story pop up about a little Houston punk band from the late 70s, early 80s called AK-47. The story that she published, it's called "A Houston Punk Band's Protest Anthem Still Resonates 40 Years After Its Release." And I'll link to it in the show description. I think it's well worth a read. But I'd like to cover a few of the details here because I think this is something incredibly special. The cold open here. What do you call it, the open in a story? I used to write, but I don't anymore. I don't know what you call that.
Jordan, what's it called? Introduction, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That basic element of writing I should know and don't anymore. The reporters gathered in Houston Police Chief B.K. Johnson's office were ready for a routine press availability on a Friday in 1981. But that day, instead of just taking questions, the chief had something he wanted to talk about. "The badge means you suck," a single by a Houston punk band called AK-47. Its title was a jab at the department's "The Badge Means You Care" slogan, and its subject was a series of controversial killings of Houstonians at the hands of police officers. The song had been out for months, but Johnson had only just heard about it, which was odd because the lyricist and singer, known pseudonymously as Tim Flim, was a local radio journalist, Tim Fleck, who was present among the reporters as Johnson held forth in his office. Which is really, really strong. You've got this police chief in Houston. You know, back then they were real bad, real corrupt, real violent cops. And boy, wouldn't you know it, they still are.
Good thing things are better.
They are just as bad now as they were in 1981. There might be even more cop killings in Houston right now. Different police chief, Art Acevedo, you'll hear his name in the future as he's running for office for something, and he is a bad, horrible person, so keep that in mind. But no, you just have the scene with all these, you know, reporters, you know, fucking smoking cigarettes, playing Sudoku alone, with this guy just ranting and raving about the malign influence of these awful punk bands, like he's fucking Tipper Gore. in the meantime, of course, there were at least 24 cases of civilians shot by Houston police under suspicious circumstances brought before grand juries in the 3 years before the 1977 death of Vietnam veteran Jose Campos Torres, a 23-year-old Mexican-American who drowned after police beat him and threw him into a bayou. Torres is prominently featured in the lyrics of The Badge, along with Milton Glover, who was killed when police officers said they thought the Bible in his hand was a gun, and Carl Hampton, a young Black Panther, was fatally shot during a standoff. So The Badge was a single made by this punk band about specifically getting into the details of these police killings, you know, talking about, you know, these totally unjustified murders the cops carried out on Black and brown men. And it was only that this guy was a reporter working the police beat that he had the details of some of these things. So as soon as the cops found out about this, they were fucking livid that anybody would, you know, dare, you know, impugn the character of these fucking murderers. And I just think that the detail noted here that pretty much every reporter in the room knew exactly who wrote that song and it was there in the room with him, and yet nobody dropped a dime on it. I just can't imagine that level of solidarity nowadays. I feel like people would be stabbing each other in the back trying to get out a blog post telling on this dude.
Oh, yeah. So there's definitely like big pick me energy these days that there didn't used to be in terms of like who can be the first person to give you the information you want on the internet, and regardless of how, you really shouldn't share that information.
Absolutely. So, you know, there was a really cool punk scene in Texas in the 80s. You know, you had Big Boys, you had the Dicks, and those were both like LGBT bands before that was a thing that was, you know, really acceptable in any kind of mainstream punk way. They all had tons of great songs about how much the cops fucking suck. And I think it's notable that like AK-47 had this mark in time, especially because this Tim Flim dude, he couldn't play a note on anything. He couldn't really sing. He was just a dude that was really fucking pissed off and saw this scene going on. He's like, I think I can make music with this. And he was right. in the time since, like these little 7-inch singles, they've been hot commodities for years. You know, if you want to try to track one down on Discogs, you're going to pay hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And after the wave of protests across the country over the last year, the guys in AK-47, they finally did something that people yell at bands to do all the time. They made a band camp. So you could finally track down the shit, get a digital copy with proceeds going to you know, all kinds of orgs that fight against police brutality. And I don't know, man, this story, it's one of those things that's forever timely in a way that I just, it doesn't feel like it can happen now. I don't know if you got a chance to read through this, Jordan, did you?
I read some of it. It's a lengthy article, but there is a timelessness to certain subjects, and meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's kind of the things may progress one step forward and take two steps back. A little less than a year ago, we had our good friend Jay Steve on the show, who lives in Minneapolis and was talking about George Floyd and all the big changes that were going to come to the Minneapolis police force. And I don't think any of them actually happened.
No. And it seems like there is, you know, they're ramping up right now at this moment for another wave of incredible police brutality. As the Derek Chauvin trial is getting ready to be, you know, probably fucking dismissed.
I imagine it's Chauvin because, you know, like chauvinistic.
Yes, I think that's the right way of going about this. Austin managed to defund the police to the tune of, like, I don't know, 50 cents or so. And it has led to incredible governmental overreach on the part of the state trying to punish the city for stripping out, you know, sandwich money.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you will have departments that flex change and say, like, oh, we're going to retrain everybody. And well, look, just a little bit of inside baseball in my life. In my factory, I'm on an assembly line. I have to be on that assembly line building as fast as I can. And sometimes I do have to get training on certain things like sexual harassment or, you know, confidentiality agreements, stuff like that. So here's what happens. The foreman just screams my name because it's a loud factory. I walk off the line. I go into his office. I say, hey, is everything okay? Said, yeah, take this. Hands me a sheet of paper. Can you sign there? I sign a different sheet of paper. I walk out of the office. I am trained.
That's crazy. That's all of the training I've had in every job I've ever had.
Every fucking job you've ever had is just, look at this, sign this. Okay, you're done. You're trained. You're better for it. Great, bye. And literally, I'm 100% confident that's what happens with these fucking police departments, is that some HR person writes some kind of fucking document in Microsoft Word, they put some clip art on it of a sad face, and they make you sign it, and then you're done. You're now a more sensitive, just racially intelligent person.
Well, they got all those classrooms at you know, the police HQs. I imagine they sit everybody in there. There's just a smell of, you know, sweaty pork in the room, and they wheel in the AV cart and put on a Schoolhouse Rock video about how it's not okay to beat people.
Yeah.
You sign your form, you did your training, you're good to go. You're a model fucking officer now.
One time my science teacher just rolled in that cart, and we just watched Contact, like the movie Contact.
That's a good... That's a video for learning about science.
Yeah. So I just imagine that all the officers are in there, and it's like, well, we can't find the racial profiling video from 1978, so here's Contact.
Yeah. That's such an appropriate one for your public school science class, too, the weirdly religious UFO movie. Yeah, no, they don't have Contact available, so that everybody just has to watch Stand and Deliver again. what was your go-to movie in high school, Jordan?
This is not a joke. In my science class, it was a sophomore year. I had a teacher who just gave up because it was like the end of the day, and this was one of those weird hybrid classes where there were seniors in it, but then there were also like sophomores, and just kind of everyone gets a B+. Terminator.
Damn, that's a whole nother level of getting out. You couldn't even reach for the vaguely inspirational kids movie.
On Laserdisc.
Hell yeah. That's the quality way of watching it.
Oh, that's great when they pick up the DVD and you know it's a DVD, and then they slowly turn it sideways and you're just like, whoa!
Was there any vague explanation for why this was appropriate?
If there was, I don't remember. I think it was just, I don't want to teach you watch this for 2 days.
I saw Remember the Titans.
Yes.
Somewhere in the vicinity of 17 times in high school.
That's probably what they show in the fucking cop classes.
Yeah, that one's also like, you know, racism, not so good, kids. All right, now get out there and hit them hard. Give them fucking CTE.
The cops just go out just bashing people with sticks. We all need somebody to lean on.
We're learning about brotherhood with each other by singing soul songs while just beating the shit out of our opponents. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. That's your racial sensitivity training. Ah, cool. It's cool stuff. rather than vent on this, Jordan, you also saw something with the First Lady of Metal, right?
Speaking of racial insensitivity, Piers Morgan.
This is an outrage. I'm leaving. Like, fucking Piers Morgan. How does this guy still exist within the cultural eye? How? Fucking
how?
Well, he got
kicked out of the UK. They tried to make him our problem, and we were like, no. I will not accept this fucking UK trash. No immigrants.
Good morning, tomorrow. It's Piers Morgan. He has things to say. Just one of my favorite things on Netflix is you're rolling through, and it's there's like some stupid documentary show called Deadly Women, and it just shows like Piers Morgan just like with his arm just sensitively around some random just like sunken-eyed bald guy who must have had to deal with a violent woman in his life.
I shouldn't have to know who this fucking guy is. No, like that's where I stand on this. Same with James Corden. Like, quit leaving your trash over here.
His slimy tentacle over some poor woman's shoulder. Just unobjectively a terrible human being in just every possible way. Popped up once again. Somehow British news has just been leaking into American news because they had the Meghan Markle prince dressed up as a Nazi when he was a teenager interview with Oprah. And just depending on who you follow on Twitter, people are just rapt with attention and just hanging on every single word about these two people who make no difference in American lives. And Piers Morgan has just had a raging hate erection towards Meghan Markle. Gee, I wonder why. And threw a hissy fit on his show. He was challenged in the slightest about it. And just running to his rescue was Sharon Osbourne with a tweet from March 9th that said, "At Piers Morgan, I am with you. I stand by you. People forget that you're paid for your opinion and that you're just speaking your truth." And just enjoy the ratio.
"Piers Morgan, I love that you speak your truth, Daddy.
Get on stage, that's
Daddy. Awful. You're really good at this. Get on stage, Daddy. Dance around in a little white thong for all the people watching. We have a new contract with a new television show, Daddy. Get up again.
Dance, I know that monkey. You're the guy on the show that typically is the best at voices, but I am blown away that you can add this one to the repertoire.
Yeah, we'll do some new sketch comedy with Sharon Osbourne and Ozzy's a little too easy. That's like, you know, come on. Anyone who can't do an Ozzy Osbourne impression is just like sad these days. They're all bad ones, but everyone can do one. But Sharon, you know, that's just a vocal register that requires just years of practice and hating every show she's been on. And this woman there's no subjectivity to this. She has no talent. She has no reason to be anywhere she is. Every television program she's featured on is worse for having her. She is just dumb and useless and just ugly, and I hate her.
We talked about this last year, I guess, but Sharon was on one of those horrible UK TV shows where it's just a bunch of celebrities talking about their child murder rituals, and she was, you know, like laughing at this hilarious anecdote she had about when her house caught on fire. She sent her assistant into the burning inferno to rescue a bunch of their paintings and bullshit. And then, like, when he complained about it, she fired him. And it's like, that's fucking hilarious. I love, you know, just using people as fucking pawns, just like disposable fucking trash.
The most Sharon Osbourne thing I've ever seen in my entire fucking life was when we all had to watch Battle for Ozfest.
Oh my God, yeah.
And there was that poor motherfucker who was voted off because reasons. He didn't want to eat the bat hot dog or something. I can't even fucking remember. And she's just like, why don't you come over here and pet Benny or whatever the fuck her stupid little white Pomeranian is. And this is Pomeranian number 12 because they keep falling down their dumb staircase and breaking their neck somewhere off camera. But, you know, you got the Pomeranian on the lap. And so he comes over and he has to pet this fucking dog. And of course she knows it's going to bite him. Of course she knows. Those things are completely untrained and they're treated better than most children in America, including their own fucking children. So the guy puts his hand out and the dog goes, and Sharon's like, see, dogs are able to tell whether or not you're a good person, Daddy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just never wanted to load a magical television gun that could fire into the past so badly in my life to just take out this woman and make just human culture better for it.
No, I mean, we joke about this a lot, I guess, or we have over the many, many years. But Sharon Osbourne, she deserves the life that she has with Ozzy.
I hope her worst moments with Ozzy are just worse than we imagine. God, I hate this woman. And it's not because, you know, it's like, look what she did to the king of my favorite music. It's, you know, please. Fucking please. If you feel that way, you're just as bad. It's just who she is at her core. You know, it's just she defines a genre of human being that should just, the planet would do so much better if that kind of individual was just gone.
I sometimes feel like, you know, America is bad, it's poisonous, there's nothing good here. But then I do look at, you know, what the UK has to offer, and I feel a little bit better. I feel like a sense of nationalism or something.
Oh, man, like the royal family nationalism is insane. Like, just whenever you see the polls or anything, it's like 89% of English people still just fucking completely froth at the mouth and total love of the royal family.
Yeah, they love being ruled by a monarchy, by some 80-year-old pedophile, and then they love Boris Johnson. They think he's a right good fella.
Yeah, and I think the only reason we had those two over here in America is because we think defying the royal family in America is cool. Because, you know, can't be 300 years ago soon enough again. It's just we gotta try to stick it to them wherever we can. But we gotta get back on that horse. We gotta do that more. We gotta load the muskets. It's gotta still be a thing.
No, I think even if it's performative, I think it is good for the national character to just oppose anything supported by the UK. Just completely, you know, dogmatic. We're probably right about it.
It was so disappointing when, like, Scotland and Ireland didn't get their independence during the whole Brexit thing, but...
They're working on it. They're trying. Yeah, they're doing their best.
A couple more votes, but, I mean, God, you know, just get a musket. That's what we did. It worked for us.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, like, the OG Armalite rifles. They should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on, IRA, do your thing.
But this whole thing, like their country has been collapsing for God knows how long, and it's just continuing on a downward slide. But the thing is, like, it can't happen fast enough. It's going to be a slow degrade over more and more decades and centuries. You know, eventually all they have to eat over there is going to be like asparagus, and they're going to take incredible pride in, you know, our English tulips or whatever they call them.
Yeah, it's kind of like the origins of the white Western modern world. You know, you can kind of watch what our future is going to look like as England unfolds, you know, and completely comes apart. We can kind of get some kind of insight We just don't get free healthcare in the process.
Yeah, well, they're losing theirs in the process. They're like working on totally privatizing that whole NHS thing.
Yeah, because it works so awesome. I can see that as being a really great idea.
And rather than like, you know, focusing on those things, it seems like the English media is really into, you know, the monarchy and all of the weird power plays between all of that shit and insane transphobia. That's the cool thing to do over there too.
But hey, man, you know, good metal though. Iron Maiden, yeah. Saxon, you know.
You got Iron Maiden. That's a band from the UK,
right?
You got Jordan. What's another one?
Judas Priest.
Definitely.
Yeah, there we go. That's one.
Jordan. Silence from my ravings for 20 minutes. Jordan finally whispers.
No, you just you don't jump in front of the train when it's moving.
It's true. this freight train's a chugging, man. I get it. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's such a subject for me. It must be my criminal Irish blood. I just hate the royal family.
I mean, I think that's the right thing to do. I think that's right and good and proper, isn't it?
Isn't it? Oh, man. What's another good English metal band?
That's all I got.
Diamond Head?
Yeah.
Cradle of Filth.
Are they from the... Yeah, I guess they are. Danny Filth talks
funny. It talks funny, right? It's easy to forget because, you know, it's such a Scandinavian style. But nope, they're full fluffy English.
Motorhead.
Oh, so what are you saying? I'm Danny Filth.
He's so delightful when he's not, like, doing the gimmick. He's just like, I just like football and having jokes. Like his Instagram, just funny pictures all over the place. And it's kind of charming in a weird way for a guy who once referred to himself as like feculent duty or something like that.
Feculent duty. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like he's probably wearing some blue football jersey and he's got like white eye contacts in.
He's just having a lorf.
Having a point.
No, that's
down at the pub with his mites.
You know, aside from I guess, you know, all of those old bands and Cradle of Filth, which at this point can probably be considered an old band, it seems done. I think the UK is tapped, right?
Well, I found that he wasn't feculent duty. Excuse me, I don't mean to impugn on Danny Filth's honor. His original name was Fecund Buggery.
Fecund Buggery. That means like dirty banging, right?
Yeah.
Dirty banging would be a cool stage name for like a rap metal band.
Head PE with special guest Feckin Buggery.
and Devil Daddy.
Yeah, no, that works for Psychosexual as well, definitely.
Dick cock semen in your mouth. Gonna fuck you in the butt. Yeah. It was a good attempt, you know. You got to give credit where credit's due. He tried.
He did, and now I'm looking forward to future efforts. I'm looking forward to, you know, the sophomore debut album. I'm looking forward to the tertiary sophomore album, and then eventually the what is it called when you completely restart your. Your canon universe.
It's like a reboot. Yeah. Soft reboot.
No, it's, you know, the fourth Psychosexual album will again tell the story of how Bruce Wayne's parents died.
Yeah, I just want to make it so that they replace Jeremy Spencer with Andrew Garfield.
And then Devil Daddy's sense. Mother is also going to be named Martha.
That's right. Get a load of my red devil dick. Guess three times where I'm gonna stick it. Devil Daddy.
Have you considered being a professional songwriter?
Devil Daddy's coming in your mouth. And his mouth is going south. Devil Daddy. Yeah.
I think you got the chops. I think you can make it in Nashville or whatever the shitty new metal equivalent of Nashville
Las
is.
Las Vegas. Which is where they're from.
Just immediately on the button.
I think we can wrap up the show there. Do we have any other valuable insights before we let people go be as metal as possible in front of their Netflix stream?
No, I don't have anything. I assume that you played this incredible video of this older gentleman in wraparound shades, right?
I'm going to play it again.
You know, it's fucked up, man, that all my friends in bands and stuff, they used to play shows and bitch about government and how government fucks everybody over and how much they hated it and stuff. And then they grow older and now they join a party and they act like their opinion matters. Like, oh, well, maybe government's okay since I'm a Democrat or since I'm a Republican. But it's not. It's the same government you bitched about when you were fucking 20 years old playing in a fucking death metal band or a thrash band or whatever the fuck you played in. You just got old and soft. You just got senile and brainwashed. And now you're just a fucking stupid son of a bitch. Fuck you.
But, yeah, we're gonna let y'all go. So keep it metal, keep it safe, keep it indoors, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.
Devil Daddy.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Dick, 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 cock. Dick, 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 cock.